from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, call your shot. What potential surprise do you foresee for the Texans this season? 713-572-4610. Where on that text line, somebody got on there and said from 713, I remember that night of Andre fighting Corlin. Mm-hmm. He was at the Rockets game and got a standing ovation. And yeah, I had forgotten that.
That is absolutely true. I do remember
that
now.
Sound about right.
Yeah, I do remember it now. That is that, like, he was like, oh, hey, Andre, standing ovation.
Standing ovation.
I'm fixing to beat his ass.
Jokes aside, right? Like being in, with all honesty.
Hey man, I'm finna beat his ass.
Yeah, man. We quoted that probably about 3-4 times in the break. Just been laughing.
It's just because it makes you laugh. It's when great. You hear it.
Hey man, I'm finna beat his ass.
That's right. You might hear that from here on out.
If I hear that from Andre Johnson, I'm running.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. I don't want no smoke.
Because you also can't forget, that's a big human being.
Oh.
That's a very big human being.
Yes, it is.
He's a gentle man, but mm-hmm. You also don't want to try him. All right, but yeah. ESPN put together a list of they predicted a surprise for all 32 NFL teams, is Dan Graziano, senior NFL reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me thinking, like, what is the thing that you would think maybe a little surprising from this Texas team? And I imagine that there's probably going to be a lot of positive. Maybe you have a negative one.
Yeah, I was kind of leaning positive, but I bet you there are a couple that we can kick around here. I'm thinking, would it be a surprise to say Kamari Lassiter? At this point, because we've been seeing it since minicamp, we've seen him in some preseason games and some scrimmages and stuff. So I'll put it this way: I think the surprise might be really good, like not just hey they got a cornerback that's decent opposite Derek Stingley. I think Kamari Lassiter might be the best surprise. I put it that way.
I don't think it's a surprise around here because we've mm-hmm. been talking about them from the beginning.
Yeah.
But I think nationally, I don't think they looking at Kamari Lassiter might be really good.
Yeah, I think he might be really good.
You read ESPN? Is that what happens here?
Is that what they have?
Dan Graziano, don't be surprised if Kamari Lassiter wins Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Oh, wow.
Right? What they're hearing, Texans coaching staff has been impressed with Lassiter, the second round pick out of Georgia. And the team believes he can be an impact starter in his rookie season.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's where we are at this point.
Mm-hmm.
A few people I've spoken to in the building have told me, unsolicited, by the way, about the way Lassiter has held his own in the battles he's had with Stephon Diggs during training camp practices, mm-hmm. with Stingley establishing a reputation as a corner opposing offenses want to stay away from. Teams are likely going to try to throw at the rookie on the other side.
Yeah.
That will present opportunities for interceptions, and if Lassiter can cash in on those, that's the kind of stat that helps you win this award.
Yeah. I didn't read that. You know, because you had mentioned that you wanted to talk about this.
Yeah.
So I
intentionally tried to keep this away to see if you ended up in that place. And that's exactly what you did.
So, you know, great minds think alike. And so do mine and Dan Graziano. But So maybe if that's not like a big surprise around here, the other one I have, and maybe this is just hope upon hope, I think British Brooks could be a real impact player.
Okay.
I think it's not just going to be the occasional block here and there at fullback, the occasional, you know, play on special teams. Because if you really think about it, there's still, as I said yesterday, Damian Pierce is still a man without a country, so to speak. Joe Mixon's the starter. Cam Akers is the backup.
Yeah.
Agumba Wale has his role as spelling a guy and special teams. Damian Pierce doesn't really have a place, you know, like where you're going to pencil him in. I could see British Brooks maybe catching some balls out of the backfield. Because keep in mind, the other fullback candidates are tight ends.
Yeah.
You know? So that means British Brooks is going to have some potential touches.
And some of the beauty of using a fullback in the system as we see it utilized with the Niners and other teams that have kind of, you know, borrowed the system.
Yes.
Is seeing that fullback, you know, create a mismatch and then go and beat them.
And it's a surprise.
Catch the football, right?
Yeah.
We see that a ton with Juszczyk, right?
Yeah.
With the Niners, right? That type of stuff. So, yeah, I could absolutely see that happening.
Those would be my two.
Can I go back to the Kamari Lassiter front? One of the reasons why that would be a surprise, if you look at the, you know, the odds for Defense Rookie of the Year this season, at least as recently as the 14th, as recently as a couple of weeks ago. I'll see if I can find something that's a little bit more updated here in a second. Latu, the Colts defensive player, defensive lineman, has the best odds. Dallas Turner, second. Jared Verse, third. Byron Murphy, fourth. Terrion Arnold, fifth. I mean, you keep going and going and going all the way to plus 6,600.
Oh, wow.
Plus 6,600, Kamari Lassiter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are pretty long odds.
It's a good number.
I mean, look.
If you believe, that's a real good number.
If you're a betting man,
yeah.
And I don't know if I am, but I might have to convince myself to be so, seeing that number.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad place to put just a little bit of scratch
just
on.
A sprinkle.
And just let that sit there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the logic stands and is very solid. Mm-hmm. And I think this might go into one of the things I was thinking offensively. But I think that you have the opportunity. One of the things we talked about is this defense could possibly be a lot more opportunistic with the ball in the air. Possibly when you look at the idea of this offense putting up points to the point where defense or other teams need to feel like they need to go for it. Plus, you know, if you're good against stopping the run, forcing teams into positions where they need to throw the football, you have guys that could possibly bring the ball down. Hopefully that gives him an opportunity to really do something special.
So those are my two guys, Lassiter and British Brooks. But I got one more in mind as a long shot, but I want to know what you guys think.
Okay. And you're going just kind of straight players here.
Players. In terms of what might be a surprise. Where are you going with it?
Mine is not players, but kind of a facet of the game in some ways. If you look at the entirety of the season last year, and maybe this is not fair because this kind of shifted in some ways, but at the entirety of the season, the Texans were average, maybe slightly below average red zone touchdown.
Okay.
And that did get better over the course of the season. I think that this is going to be a top five, maybe arguably top three red zone touchdown team.
I could see that. 100%.
And I think that might be a little bit of a surprise. And again, that might be nationally because, again, you got to the latter parts of the season and that definitely had an uptick. And, you know, once you got into late weeks and then also into the postseason, this was a highly regarded team, or this team was pretty high up when it came to scoring in the red zone. Top 10, right, in that regard when it came to red zone touchdown percentage. I think that they have the opportunity to be elite in that regard, and I use elite kind of very top echelons, top five, top three maybe, when it comes to getting into that red zone and scoring. I think the thing that'll be interesting is, are they able to run the ball in the red zone?
That's
but
the other one,
I think
that's a surprise.
They have a ton of guys when you talk about, you know, wide receiver options, big bodies, you know, quick bodies that they can, and then also they're going to throw the ball out of the backfield. Joe Mixon is going to be really good for these types of things. I think that they have so many different options that they are going to be able to feast once they get themselves inside.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That's a good one, because I have long been saying that I feel like Tank Dell is a red zone must, because he just gets so open and in tight spaces so much. But now you got Stephon Diggs too.
Yeah.
And he might be they could, and Joe Mixon, you know, as you just mentioned, like Joe Mixon running or receiving out of the backfield. Red zone, boy, that would be a development. That would be a really good development there. The other one I had that I think, and it's a long shot, admittedly, but last year, Blake Cashman had that D'Amico pixie dust, as I've often said.
Sure.
What if it goes to Jake Hansen? He's going to have some opportunities.
Oh, okay.
He's going to have some opportunities.
That would be a fun surprise. Right? I like what you're doing here.
Yeah, because Christian Harris, who knows, you know, and Henry Toto, who knows.
Can be a little up or down.
Right. What if Jake Hansen gets that little sprinkle and all of a sudden fills that role as a guy that can, you know, not just, you know, play the linebacker position, but maybe cover a little bit more, a little better, and make some plays.
Yeah, I like that. And that would, again, go a long way in assuaging some of our you know, trepidation when it comes to the linebacker core, right? That's another really strong piece that you would have, in addition to when Christian Harris is ready to play again. But then also, you know, Toa feels like a guy that they'll lean on in some ways. Just, it feels weird to say out of necessity.
Yeah, I think
you understand what I mean.
I feel like it is.
And I think they have belief in him and his capabilities. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's undeserved, but just kind of out of necessity of, hey, you have to be in that role and we trust you to do that. And then you give yourself, what, in that instance, 4 linebackers that you feel really strongly about.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a really good place to be, because then you have 4 linebackers. I'm not worried about you.
Oh, no. No, if he can play and just be productive. I'm not talking about being a Pro Bowler.
No.
But just be like a Blake Cashman type, where people are like, whoa, you know, where'd that come from? You know, Cashman was basically just a special teams guy. I mean, he played some, but before he got here, he was mostly like special teams, spelling people. Then all of a sudden, he's making plays all over the field, made a big play, I believe, against Jacksonville with an interception. And if Jake Hansen just shows a little glimpse of that, that'd be a great surprise for this defense.
I'm surprised. I kind of set this up in such a way where I was wondering if anybody would do the very obvious thing of texting in and being like, the surprise is that JJ Watt.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, dear listener, not getting to that place. Are there any other teams that you're interested in seeing what maybe the surprise is? You want me to go around the division and see?
The division would be the ones. And it's funny you say that, because I was actually thinking kind of in my mind, what would be the surprise? Would be Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis?
I think that I understand where you're going, right? That they have high hopes for Anthony Richardson, volatility, that type of things kind of took Graziano away from that. What he ultimately went with, don't be surprised if Jonathan Taylor wins Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, that's scary. Because I feel like the Colts are the scariest team in the division to challenge the Texans. And that would be even scarier. Jonathan Taylor's two best games last year were against the Texans. I mean, he's kind of become, you know, that Texans killer with the Colts. So
he's the new T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. We started out with Manning. Eugene. Started out with Peyton Manning. Then it became T.Y. Hilton. If Jonathan Taylor's the next guy, man, that'd be scary.
Around that division, the Jaguars. Don't be surprised if Brian Thomas Jr. has a big rookie season.
They're projecting that over there. They were high on him.
Is that scary? Because I know the Jonathan Taylor one is clearly very scary. If he's being that effective, and then you have the soothsayer that seems to be in the play calling with Steichen, right? That team could be really dangerous, clearly. Mm-hmm. Jaguars with Brian Thomas Jr. being really high level as a rookie season, is that as scary?
No, it's not nearly as scary because I don't have a lot of confidence in what Trevor Lawrence could do. But again, by extension, you know, if Brian Thomas Jr. has a good year, Trevor Lawrence is probably having a good year as well. But nah, that's a little bit not as scary, I'll put it that way.
And to finish out the division, the Tennessee Titans. Don't be surprised if Tony Pollard has a bounce back season. Obviously, they have Tyjae Spears in that backfield as well. But, you know, maybe not twice as many touches as Tyjae Spears, but, you know, considering Will Levis, a quarterback, all those things that he has experience. Pollard has, you know, been over 1,000 yards rushing the last couple of seasons, mm-hmm. right? They're looking at maybe he's able to bounce back and be a really solid number one running back for the Titans.
Yeah, and it's surprising that he hasn't, you know, he didn't get more run, hasn't gotten more run around the league because I think that's a great opportunity for him. And I still don't believe in the Titans.
Sure.
But between him and some of the things they've done on defense and who knows with Will Levis and they brought in Jones, you know, the linebacker just the other day, they're definitely thinking that they can make a run. Pollard would go a long way toward doing that.
Yeah, but I look around and I'm like, the one that really scares me is Jonathan Taylor, for sure. Kind of high end. Mm-hmm. If that ends up being the surprise, the rest of them, I'm like, that's cool. I'm still rolling with the way that these Texans are looking and not feeling too scary about that. Brian Thomas Jr., I do think that he has the opportunity to do something really good, and I think he will.
Yeah.
We were just talking about the fact that you have a cornerback that we feel confident for Defensive Rookie of the Year, and then Stingley is becoming that guy, right? Mm-hmm. What guy is that guy, right? Go ahead and line up against those guys. I feel good about that. The Jonathan Taylor is where it gets interesting. And this team was solid run stopping last year, this Texans team. And I understand that he's mm-hmm. done well against them. I feel a lot better about where they are headed into the season.
I think if that happens and Kamari Lassiter is really good, and however, whatever numbers or data you want to put behind that, statistics, I don't care. But if he's really, really good, I mean, just imagine with this defense, like they'll be top five easy. Because you got the two guys on the edges that you have confidence in, presuming health, and then you have two cornerbacks that can shut down. I mean, where's the quarterback going to put the ball? Because he's not going to have much time to get the ball out.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, those are the best symbiotic relationships: mm-hmm. a staunch pass rush, and then a defensive secondary that can lock down, but more importantly, can be really opportunistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you have the possibility of pairing those things. And so, yeah, I'm super excited for that, especially like regular season-wise. You get to the postseason and all of this has to click in a different way. You have to be able to stonewall folks, you know, with running the football, all of those things. But yeah, regular season.
If you
season,
have those two things happening.
Cooking with grease.
Yeah, exactly. If the two ends are what we think they are, one of them is already proven in Danielle Hunter. And the two cornerbacks become, you know, quote unquote, shut down. Hell, I mean, it's almost a given that this defense is going to be a top five defense. I mean, certainly they could give up some runs and give up some checkdowns that, you know, to tight ends, and the safeties might be an issue, and Jalen Petrie might be an issue. I get all that, but if you got two stud cornerbacks,
yeah, we can't run past the safeties might be an issue though.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm saying that. No, I get all that, but if you got two cornerbacks that are that good and two ends that are that good, you're so far ahead of the game defensively.
Yeah. Y'all got to let me live on the text line because from the 713, assuage, trepidation, easy, fella. No place for that in the loop. Hey, I'm just talking how I talk.
Dude, he's and talking honestly, my language.
If we're being completely honest, and now I'm just going to deflect. This is me lashing out in some ways. Y'all mad at Sean and Seth in the morning is really who y'all mad at. They be dropping way more language than I do, man. Don't get after me for this, man. And yeah, 713 also came back around. Is that the same 713? Nope, different 713. Yeah. So my bingo card is looking good. I had assuage and trepidation. Enjoy the show. Okay, very good. Now I'm going to be very cautious about the way that I use
language.
No, please
don't be. Please don't be.
Again, I am Nigerian. We just be using big words for no reason sometimes. That's how we are.
I'm over here back here like, who?
Appreciate you guys hanging out with us in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about that time to get some lunchtime confessions.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, so first of all, mini confession before my first confession. I'm going to be thinking about, I'm thinking to beat his ass all day long.
Hey, man, I'm finna beat his ass.
it's a rap. You know how when you drive home and you sing a song that you heard and you can't stop singing it? I'm gonna be doing it all day.
Hey, man, I'm finna beat his ass.
So that's the first mini confession. I don't think I'm alone in that either.
That's hilarious.
Watch this. My confession.
The afternoon guys had me rolling. That's not the confession. The confession is life really does come at you fast, doesn't it? It really does come at you fast. So they were mid-show, man. The Astros game is on here, as it often is when the games are earlier and we're on the air. And this happened.
Just went deep! Oh, my God! Danny went off on that! Look at Jazz! Playing! You're right!
I think they start dropping the music.
Go! One more chance! Get your asses out of the dugout! Every last one of you!
Get out of the dugout! Congratulate him!
Give that son of a bitch a hug! Get out of the dugout!
Bring him platters of banana pudding!
White! So happy for that kid! Charles. Somebody give him a hug! Every last one of you!
Update.
Let him run there, bro.
Hey, that warms up my heart.
What a game. And White Boy Chaz is back.
Well, he's back in Sugarland. He's back in Sugarland.
Yeah.
That was talk about coming at you fast, man. Yeah. But a good way to go.
Look.
Yeah, good way to go.
I'm all about enjoy and appreciate and celebrate life while you got it. So you know what? I feel like the drive, Ron, Tyler. Maybe noticeably a lot less Clint in that audio, to be completely honest. But look, man, go ahead and celebrate that, man. He ain't done it for a while. Appreciate that, man, while you had the opportunity, because it apparently was very short before he'll be in Sugar.
This station has had me laughing for 2 days, man. Just all kinds of cool stuff.
Hey, man, I'm finna beat his ass.
Is that the transition now?
It should be.
I love it. Just keep that going. It's going to make me happy. My confession. Look, man, this Texans season, it looks to be like it's going to be really good. There's going to be a lot of fun within it. Super excited for it. My confession is, however, I'm kind of ready for hoop season.
Oh, come on.
I know.
Already?
I know. I really, not like I'm ready to turn the page, but I'm super excited for these Rockets, though.
Yeah.
Like, I really do want to see, like, I'm curious.
It's Reed Shepard, man.
That's part of it.
That's
but
part
like,
of it.
I kind of like the starting point that, you know, Ime Udoka had with a lot of the, you know, young guys matching with some veterans and the way that's starting to come together. There's also, like, there's a perfect mix for, like, kind of a curious sports talk host, because there's enough to see that they went, what, 41-41 this past year, 500? Like, there's enough that you're like, oh, there's a foundation of solid. But then there's some questions on, okay, how do you get all these dudes play? How much play does Reed Shepard get? All those things. And I'm ready to have those answers. And I recognize that's ridiculous.
It is
Football
ridiculous.
Season is starting right now.
Yeah. I mean, while I acknowledge everything you're saying, let's tap the brakes on that just a little bit. We got a squad of Texans we got to keep an eye on here.
That's why I went here as opposed to anywhere else. But yes, my confession is I felt it. I want to see some
feeling that hoops.
Watch this. My confession.
I gotta confess, I'm a little fed up with these Instagram real estate agents. So I seen a post. Actually, my wife seen a post. You know how you see these real estate people on Instagram and they showing this beautiful house?
Yeah.
and damn near mansion, and they saying, oh, only $267,000.
Sure.
All yours, pool. We ran across this post, and it pretty much said that four beds, two in the bath, two and a half baths, game room, office, and all this stuff for $267,000.
Man.
You were like, where is it? I'll sign now.
Yeah.
So my wife commented under it like, hey, where is this place? Like, what area? Because it said 45 minutes away from Houston.
What is it, like, yeah. Brenham?
We have, so I get there in a minute. So she commented under the post, and the guy said, DM me. And she did.
Oh, that's a trap.
So she said, hey, where is that neighborhood?
Port Aransas.
He refused to say. He said,
that's a trap.
Yeah, so he pretty much sent a message saying, I sell houses around Houston, da 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 da, and what's a good number I could call?
No.
She said, I have a realtor. Like, I'm good on that, but I'm interested in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Converse.
So he responded and said, you need to contact your realtor. So this person is being a hard ass.
Waco.
Yeah. Waco.
So long story short, he sent the whole message talking about some asking for location policy that they have.
Oh, come on.
So you got to sign a contract.
I'm telling you, that's a trap.
So my wife, being my wife, she should be an investigator.
Mm-hmm.
So she took a screenshot of the actual video.
Uh-huh.
Went to Google, image search, and found out this place was in Conroe.
Yep, there it is.
It was in Conroe. And not only was this house not the accurate price, but that wasn't even the cheapest place around there. So the place was like, I think the exact house that we saw was like $600,000.
Yeah, it's a little bit off.
So I got to confess, I'm tired of these Instagram realtors trying to fool people.
Yep.
Because, dog, we stay here. And we looking around. Yeah, yeah. It ain't no house that good. No matter how far it is for that price.
Yeah, I feel like we got to remember, man, like, are they trying to sell houses or are they trying to get engagement? Because I imagine the engagement is more than the houses. And, like, just the idea that, that looks like a cool house and that might keep seeing those. I'll keep watching your videos.
I will say she did reply to the guy because he sent the long message, mm-hmm, and said, okay, understandable. Well, thank you for your time. I was able to reverse image and found the listing in Conroe, Texas.
Oh, good for her.
Thank you.
Good for her. She should be an investigator.
She's
a detective.
Oh, you could have told that what area.
No, they didn't want you. They want to get you signed up.
Exactly.
Man.
What a hater. You know what your wife should have told him?
What?
What Andre did.
Hey, man, I'm finna beat his ass.
Hey, that's what I was ready to say. I was about to say, like, what'd he say?
Yeah.
Like, I asked her, like, did he reply back? Like, if he said something, then.
Hey, man, I'm finna beat his ass.
That's right. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I probably should have known this, but I didn't. You can unretire a number in the NFL?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
At the behest of the person or maybe their families, like, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I think this is a little bit, what's the
sacrilegious
right word? No, okay. I think it's not fair. It's unfair to the family. So if you didn't see, Malik Nabers is going to wear number one after all. That's his favorite number. It's the number he wanted to wear. It had been retired by the New York Giants. Ray Flaherty, who, by the way, I did a little digging, 7-time All-Pro. But it was early. I mean, it's like in the 30s or 40s or whatever. But
back when they were all Coopers and Haberdashers and stuff.
Yeah, but either way, he was a Giants, original Giants legend. The family, his descendants, gave him permission to wear number one, you know, to unretire the number. Dude, that's unfair. Like, if they come up to you and say, he would really like your number, do you give permission to him for him to wear it? If you say no, you're an a-hole.
But it's within your rights.
I mean, it's within your rights, but they speaking of traps, they kind of trap you into saying, you only got one answer that's really going to make you look good. You know, if you say no, everybody's going to be bashing Ray Flaherty and the Flaherty family. Well, come on, let him have his number. That's unfair when you ask to retire a number.
I don't really like that situation either because it's a rookie coming in. It'd be one thing if, let's say, I'm trying to think of a wide receiver who wear number one currently. That's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
And if that person came, let's say Aaron Rodgers, he had Joe Namath number or whatever it was. Let's say he came to the Jets or something and allowed. I would be fine with that. if it was something like that. I don't think that number retired, mm-hmm. but I would be fine with that. But a rookie coming in, you don't know what this guy going to do, man.
I mean, he should be good, but you don't know.
I'm not unretiring my number for a guy that I don't know about. He might be good, but I'm not doing that early. Like, come on, man.
I sense that you're on the other side of this.
I see where you guys are coming from, and I think that you're absolutely, like, I think you're right in that regard. I do find, though, sometimes that, or let me ask this as a question more than as a statement, right? Because I don't know that I feel so strongly about it that I need to make it a statement. Do you feel like it's possible that in retiring numbers, sometimes that they can be forgotten, and in now having the number back out there again, you can kind of have an opportunity to celebrate that player?
Well,
again?
He's getting his 15 minutes, Ray Flaherty.
Right, because one of the things, you just realized that he was a 7-time All-Pro.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things, and okay, I owe the helmet, I don't know where the helmet just went. Oh, there it is, back there. I owe the helmet another dollar. It's about to come, right? The Cowboys were number 88.
Yeah.
Like, having that be a lineage as opposed to, like, a retired number that's just up there keeps that alive.
But that's Ring of Honor. That's not retired. Ring of Honor was originally started by Jerry Jones.
And they intentionally not retired.
So they could use the number again.
Yeah, but that's...
Yeah. And but this was a retired number.
Sure, and that's my thing about it is, like, is it better to then go about those numbers in that way where you're appreciating the player but still... being able to call upon their greatness
the Ring of Honor.
More frequently
I like
because
the concept.
You're still using the number.
Yeah, I like the concept of the Ring of Honor. But once a number is retired, I mean, it's in the word. It's retired. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And then the thing that bothers me the most is, like, the family is in a no-win situation. Hey, would you mind unretiring it? Well, yeah, we mind. Don't let him have it. And then you're an a-hole.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, especially because you ain't actually played. That's just your family.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So, I actually don't think I know where I fall on big managerial decisions anymore, like the one that Joe Espada had to make last night. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that it was absolutely fair what he made, the decision that he made.
You know what, Bregman?
Yes, Alex Bregman comes out of the game. Defensive replacement, Shea Whitcomb, comes in the eighth. And then you have kind of the hot shot towards third that he can't get a glove on. Pena has to try and make a play on it. It's just way too far.
Yeah.
That breaks up the no-hitter that Spencer Arrighetti was on and ultimately kind of, you know, puts a little bit of a damper on what was a fantastic baseball game. And I think Espada was 100% correct. He you know, he laid out that, that man has been dealing with inflammation in his elbow. He had gotten hit during the course of that game. You know, he's worried about trying to win a World Series, like win in a bigger stakes than just on, you know, August 28th in Philadelphia against the Phillies. However, I very vividly remember when Ross Stripling was with the Dodgers and he was going for a no-hitter and Dave Roberts pulled him because he had reached his pitch limit. Like, hey, we're just trying to keep him healthy.
Yeah.
And I know at that point I was like, well, we're going for a bigger thing. But I've looked at the way Ross Stripling's career has gone. And I was like, you know, if he's young and he's capable, he'll get another opportunity to no-hitter. And he hasn't. Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things that made baseball special is these moments that you have an opportunity to do something great. And so I have now, as I've gotten a little bit older, tried to appreciate more the let's go for the special because the special is what makes these sports incredible. It's the magic in it. And so I find myself in this middle ground where, yes, you have bigger aspirations, but I still want to go for the special. And so I'm like, I don't know where I am in between these.
Yeah, I don't mind pulling a pitcher on a pitch count, let's say, in the first 2 months of the season. But after that, let him go. And on the Bregman, I think it's kind of silly to criticize Espada. The dude got hit in the head.
Sure.
Got hit in the head that game.
Agree.
And had elbow problems.
Well, with the criticism, like I know I can't. You don't need my agreement that he got hit in the head. That was a fact.
I think it was a fine call.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. But I'm just like, yeah, let's try and go for the special. I think. There you go. In the Loop. That's some good lunchtime confessions every weekday at 12:20 here in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up next. We're making a Thursday special now. Cap or no cap? Texans? No, we're going all the way around. Cap or no cap?
Yeah.
You can play along. 713-572-4610. We'll do cap or no cap next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
I have real concerns that we might be overplaying the Andre drop.
No, God, no, not today.
I have real concerns that we might be overplaying the Andre drop. I'm not going to, we're not stopping. I want you to make that clear. I'm just
concerned.
I just have concerns that we might be overplaying.
Hey, man, I'm finna beat his ass.
It's just going to have to be overplayed today. To the point where Lopez has already asked Fig for him to, he wants to get that audio on his phone. I'm guessing that Lopez is going to make that like a his text, you know, text tone. When he get a text,
it's going to be a ringtone.
It's going to be a drop on the Bite Me Fishing podcast, because we're always talking about when people cut you off or come pot lick and fish where you're fishing or do something stupid at the boat ramp. That's Captain Scott Null special. He goes, we need to drop that on our, on whenever we're talking about all these dummies on the water.
So here we go. Here's let's do a little cap or no cap, a little Thursday special that we're establishing here in Loop. Very simple game. Do you believe that this is lying, or that they're lying, cap or no cap? You think they're telling the truth, or, you know, at least not lying in that regard.
All right. So George Payton from he said that
general manager of the Broncos.
He said that Zach Wilson, quote, has starter qualities. Starter qualities, Zach Wilson, according to George Payton.
Big cap.
Cap or no cap?
Big cap.
Yeah, that's cap. I mean, you always say stuff like that when somebody get fired. When somebody get fired or lose their job, yeah, just a great worker, you know. I'm sure he's going to find a job somewhere. Nah.
He's got a great personality.
Yeah, man. Like, and I noticed that he did not point out which starter qualities those were.
Mm-hmm.
It's been kind of amazing the level of not starter that Zach Wilson has kind of felt, right? And we saw that to a high degree last year. Like the starter qualities that you saw started or felt like it started and ended in that opening game at MetLife Stadium, where, you know, four plays in, Aaron Rodgers goes down and Zach Wilson is able to do just enough to help them win that game. And admittedly, he did do what he needed to do in that regard, but that was a lot of defense carrying and all those types of things. It's okay. I think we can be honest. He does not have it on an NFL level. He was a very good, solid college quarterback, and he's made a little bit of money. Good for him. But he ain't a starter in the NFL.
That's cap for me too. That's what a general manager says when they're trying to protect themselves. Yeah, make themselves look okay for having that. Let's go to CJ Stroud here, and this was a very good comment by him about what made him really start to focus. He said he didn't go to parties and didn't go to lunch to focus on his dream a little better. Didn't go to lunch? I mean, maybe once or twice, but do you think that's cap or no cap?
I believe that's no cap. I think that from here, like, I think he was thinking of like lunch as the period, right? Like going to the lunchroom during the course of, I'm guessing this is grade school, right?
Yeah, so what he's implying is he went and worked out instead of having lunch. Yeah,
I can absolutely see that. I can absolutely see that happening.
I love our guy.
Oh, you think he lied?
You don't miss lunch in school, man.
Hell, I think it's cap with the parties part. Man, you were still going. You know you was going to a party at some point, man. You ain't stop. Just imagine a friend said, hey, we going to this party. And he said, "Nah, you know what? I want to get that James Harden contract."
Yeah. He was talking about James Harden, and that was kind of what he. But here's the thing, and we love you, we love you, CJ. Go put yourself, and I'm obviously a lot further removed than you guys are. But put yourself back in middle and high school.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't about to miss lunch for anything.
He was looking forward to lunch. That was the best part of the day for me.
The only thing he looked forward to. Nobody missed lunch. I'm gonna say cap.
Okay. I believe in a man that, you know, because I also know that there's definitely kids that like did not do lunch in the lunchroom, right? Like they would go hang out in some teacher's class that they enjoyed, or like, especially like if it's a, you know, one of those electives or something.
Yeah.
But if they got to be that place, and I imagine it being an important quarterback, because it was probably very evident early on that CJ Stroud was big man on campus, no matter what the campus was, right? I imagine that he could get the key to the gym or the key to the workout room or what have you. I can see him. I can see him going over there.
He probably is going to In-N-Out Burger. He leaves school to go to In-N-Out or Fat Burger, whatever they was eating.
I believe if no one else believes, CJ. I believe.
Hell, I used to leave to go get food.
Oh, well, yeah, we're not talking about
me.
Yeah, I did that all the time.
I was a miscreant. What you mean?
Dude, when I was in high school,
with McDonald's.
You want to point to me and say, man, you old. when I was in high school, we had a smoking area at the school.
What? For who?
For the teachers?
For the students.
That is crazy,
like,
man.
You could go to lunch, and then they would go out to this mall area outside, and you'd see like 15, 20 kids just smoking. At a smoking area in high
school. Hey, we didn't have a smoking area, but it was still kids outside.
It was a smoking area. It was an unofficial smoking area.
Coming in smelling like a black and mild. Or weed for some.
So, two caps and a no cap?
I'm staying no cap.
All right, cap or no cap. How about the anonymous head coach talking to The Athletic? That's always fun, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
The anonymous GM or the anonymous head coach. An anonymous head coach told The Athletic that the entire league, every opposing team, is, quote, scared to death of Anthony Richardson. Every team.
I say no cap.
Oh, man, you're really, really generous today.
But I feel like that's because you're scared of the possibility, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't think it's that assured scaredness like that. Oh, the Kansas City Chiefs are coming to town. Hide the kids, hide the wives. Like, this is going to be a problem, right? Yeah. Like, I don't think it's that assured. But the idea is, the whole point of Anthony Richardson is, oh, man, if this goes right, it'll be a problem. And so everybody's like, yeah, if this goes right, mm-hmm. it will be a problem. A big old dude that can run the rock, that has a big arm, all those things. If the good things hit, and the good things don't have to hit forever when you're an opposing team, just has to hit that one or two times that he plays your team, right? Yeah, that's scary as hell, man. Like, how do you defend that, right? In theories, it's like, can he be the high end is supposed to be what? Like, when Josh Allen is going really good?
Yeah.
That's scary as hell for any team, man, because this is also a thing, right? You can get guys back in the backfield, right? With a quarterback, the whole idea is, can I get pressure on him? Can I get guys on him, bring mm-hmm. him down? Josh Allen, they be throwing dudes at him. They be bouncing off, right? Like, that's even scarier. We got to the quarterback, and he's still upright and still torching us down the field. Like, mm-hmm. that's the type of things that Anthony Richardson poses. But that's just the high end. I believe that the idea is every team in the league is worried about the high end, but I don't know that every team in the league should be worried about the high end, because you're definitely going to get some middle and some low end with
That's where I am. I mean, you stated a strong case, but I'm going to say cap, because I think every team in the league right now, including the Texans for week one, are going to say hit him, hit him, hit him, hit him. He's either going to get injured or he's going to be ineffective, and he's going to be hit a lot, and I think that's going to affect... Nobody is scared to death of Anthony Richardson. To your point, there's some qualities there that they're like, well, we can't let that happen.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody's scared to death. I'm going to say cap.
Well, can I also add this? Because, Fig, I know you got some stuff to add as well. But how much of this also matters, the context that he's in? Because Shane Steichen had Gardner Minshew out here looking decent, looking pretty good.
It's true.
Right? Like, the idea being what happens when that man now has the opportunity with a much better player.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna say cap, but I think a lot of teams are a little bit worried just for what Reggie said with Shane Steichen, what he can possibly do.
Yeah,
and then just looking at Anthony Richardson as a player, it's like, man, if he's on track, that dude could be scary. I don't think every team in the league is scared.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But I would say
they want to feast on that.
I will,
you know,
I would say maybe 80% of the teams are a little bit worried. Yeah. If he gets going, then that dude can be a problem.
Yeah.
Cam Newton 2.0 is what somebody said in the Twitch.
Maybe. I mean, at the ultimate.
Of course, high end.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Cap or no cap? This was D'Amico Ryans. He said he feels really good about the linebacker room. Cap or no cap?
Oh, okay. I'm interested to hear what he says here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because also, D'Amico can, you know, be a little bit short at times if he wants to be, mm-hmm. right? Especially when he's talking to the likes of us in the Assemble Media, that type of thing. I'm interested where he goes, because depending on if he gives us a little hint onto what would make him, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would make him feel that way? I'm interested, but let's hear what D'Amico said.
Oh, yeah, feel good about linebacker room. Feel good. It's not about, for me, it's never about one position. It's about our defense, right, collectively. Like, how do 11 guys fit together? And that's what it's all about. I feel really good about our defense and where we are. Pulling for Christian to get back in due time.
I'm actually going to say no cap, because I do think he feels good about the linebacker room. I don't think he feels as good about the linebacker room as other places. But like kind of what Andy Kalu said when he joined us, and you can hear that interview, he was great on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, rewind, baby.
Rewind, yeah. But like, that was his position. That's his baby.
Yeah.
You know, that was D'Amico's baby. That is D'Amico's baby. So I think he actually believes this. Maybe the rest of us don't feel real good about the linebacker room, but I'm going to say no cap.
Yeah, I think that you're right. And that is a no cap situation. I do believe that he feels good about the linebacker room also because at the I think we also feel good about the linebacker room at the very top. And I imagine that he also comes with that perspective that a coach will. Like, you're going to have the next man up mentality, but your starters are going to be very good. And I think that we all agree with that perspective. And whatever the other guys aren't going to be or aren't going to be compared to that starting lineup, coaching will make up, right? Like, how have you met a football coach that does not have a grand sense of their ability to coach them up?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to say no cap. I think he's perfectly fine with this room. I think if they wasn't, you'll probably be seeing more of a turnover in that room.
Yeah.
People coming in, people going out, people coming in and trying different things. But it seemed like he's super confident in the guys he got.
Yeah. All right, one more for you. And I added this one because it's not just, you know, about a quarterback that is near and dear to all of us. But I think I've seen so much of this, like, this rookie being compared to C.J. Stroud. This rookie being compared to C.J. Stroud. Can they have a C.J. Stroud year? C.J. Stroud kind of ruined it for everybody.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he kind of ruined it for everyone.
That's the floor right there.
Yeah, that's like all of a sudden, like, you know, all these rookies and their agents must be going, oh, come on, we got to live up to that.
He's the rookie prototype.
Yeah, we got to live up to what he did last year. Well, the cap or no cap is one of those rookies that I'm not real high on, but apparently obviously, Sean Payton and Brian Baldinger are. Brian Baldinger said, it's not crazy to think that Bo Nix could have a C.J. Stroud-type season.
It's not? And I will preface this by making it abundantly clear.
Yeah.
I did not have the opportunity to watch Bo Nix in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I am basing this off of like my preconceived notions that I had from watching a lot of Bo Nix. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, me too.
Auburn, Oregon. Like those, I saw a lot of Bo Nix in college, right? And I was actually thoroughly impressed with the place that he got to in Oregon in year 75 of his college career. But with that being the case, right? Like, I just, no. Like, the things that we were just talking about earlier, we had the opportunity to kind of have a reflective on C.J. Stroud's first year. It's so impressive, the handle that he has on the game, like the mental aspect, and D. Kalu was talking about it as well, like the mental aspect that he brings to the game, the leadership, the games that he's able to play, like, he has that accuracy, all these things.
Yeah.
Bo Nix ain't bringing all of that to the table. Like, I know that he, you know, he has a little bit more experience playing football because he's played more of it. But that accuracy, all those things, and then also doing that while also being aggressive down the field and pinpoint and all those things, I don't have the belief that he's doing all of those things as well. So, I mean, best of luck to him. I know that he has Sean Payton, who is a, you know, a demanding but a pretty good play caller as an offensive guy. But nah, man, I think that it is crazy to expect that from him. And it's probably unfair to him, in fact.
So you're saying cap.
Cap.
I'm going to say cap too, very succinctly, to quote you. It's not. It's not crazy to think that.
Yeah, I'm gonna say cap for the simple fact that we then heard this about Caleb Williams. Oh. We heard this about Jaden. Jaden Daniels?
Yeah.
Like, no, we ain't about to be going down the quarterback list saying, "Oh, this person could have a C.J. Stroud year."
I'll say it again: C.J. Stroud kind of ruined it for everyone.
Yeah.
Good. They should actually set C.J. Stroud to the side and just go back to the rookie scale where we used to grade rookies off.
Like the mini Mahomes thing, where we're just like, "All right, outside of Mahomes, like as rookie quarterbacks, you go outside of C.J. Stroud."
Exactly.
Yeah,
I like
exactly
what you're doing here. Here we go. Coming up next, or on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Are we gaining more insight into why D'Amico Ryans is such a good coach? I'll talk about that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.